You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence. Set apart your word. Lord, thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection. Spirit of God, thank you as you honor our Lord, as you honor thy word, and Father, that you are pleased with the whole process. So God, we're looking to you. Thank you very, very much. Help us in Christ's name. Amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we're in the last hours before his crucifixion. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John major in the last hours. The most information is all, it's full. God gives the most emphasis to those hours and to his crucifixion and to his resurrection. Now, having said that, and John, the last living apostle, his assignment is to represent and help us in the light of secular and sacred history to understand that he is God. So if we're going to answer anything and everything, we got to start with God, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. So we got to start with God. Now, in the light of that, as we've been studying the upper room, John chapter 13, and we've been sharing together and following the movement and mood, if we can. So, remember now, John chapter 13, Judas has gone out into the night, chapter 13, verse 30. Then, having received the sop, the piece of food, went immediately out, and it was night, and we shared together all of those things. And in the process, as he goes out into the night, the 11 are still in the upper room, in the room, and he's gone out, and the night and the hour of his crucifixion is at hand. It's taking place. And going out into the night, it was already night, so why tell him about the night? Because it's a whole different darkness. A whole different mood. We know what night is. We need to know darkness of another kind. That's the kind when there is no light. There is no right. There is no God. There is no good. It's a life, earth, it's our world system in which we live without any light, without God, in a state of death. Darkness. Power of darkness, as we shared in Luke in that, was taking over. The devil was going to do his awesome thing, a most horrible thing. Now, having said that, and he's going to fulfill all of the awesome movement that has been predicted from way back in square one before God created even angels. So God, here we are going to see the outworking of the hour of darkness, the power of darkness. We're going to see the full force of it. We're going to see the fulfilling of Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent, and we're going to see it all take place. It's all going to happen. It's ready to happen. And the 11 disciples will leave the room. They're going to leave that room. They're already perplexed. They're already unsure, and they're going to go into a horrible situation. A horrible situation. They couldn't even dream of it till they leave the room. They couldn't believe the garden coming right up. And then the trials and the mockery, the crucifixion. They can't conceive of it. It's too hard to think about. It's an awful thing. That's the context of the setting. It's a horrible time. Now, we have similar. We have the natural outworking of the trauma and the earth movement and the hurricane and the great damage that it can do, the great disturbing our comfortableness as a people. Hurricanes do that, cyclones and whatever. They do that. And then add to that the world problems. And here's Korea, North Korea, exploding a hydrogen bomb this morning or whatever. Wow, that's an awesome thing. Not an atomic bomb, a hydrogen bomb. That's a big thing. And that's not good, because they're just a little nation, but boy, are they active. And this Iran and Russia and China and Iraq and all of it's there. Wow. Venezuela over here. We got all of that going on. And then you're going to add to that, we have a problem with the government, and we can't just seem to get down. We're caught up in everything and anything except doing the business we're supposed to do. And that's hard. That makes it very unstable. And all the conditions make it unstable. And then to add to that a little bit in the pot, add into the pot what? The gender problem. We aren't sure. We're being fed all the time. What are we being fed? We don't know what we are, male or female, et cetera, et cetera. Are we an it? What are we? And you add that to the equation, because all of that is rumbling out there, hither and yon, and making everyone question, who am I, what am I, where am I? All of that is very troublesome. Just like in the upper room, only the upper room is even more so. But it's troublesome enough for us on planet Earth at the moment, to say the least. It's an awesome time to live if we just know what to do with it. Wow, it's a wonderful time, exciting time. God, all of it taking place for what's going to be the next stage. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, in chapter 13, God, what did you say? Well, in verse 32, if God be glorified in him, in Christ, God shall also glorify him, Christ, in himself, in God himself, God the Father, and shall straightway immediately glorify him. So God, what do we know in this horrible time? God is going to be glorified in the person of Jesus Christ in this dark, dark hour. God is going to get glory and honor. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God is going to get honor in it. Wow. Now, so the disciples, do you guys understand this? No. In fact, we're going to go through a very hard time because we're going to have to work through it. And in fact, even after he leaves an empty tomb to start and quicken your understanding, we don't even understand the empty tomb. We can't even imagine an empty tomb. It's a very difficult thing to face up to the awesome reality of God's saving grace. What was absolutely required in God's wisdom and in God's working. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, it's the hour, power of darkness, the hour of evil. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, glory, God's going to glory. So now, here's the disciples down. God is up, encouraged. Our Lord is going to go out to the garden, betrayed, take our sin in his own body in the tree in just a few hours. Wow, God is up. The people are down. It's an awesome thing. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God, we're looking, and in the process, God, you're going to say something to them. Now, God, you got to help the disciples. They're in the upper room. They're going to leave the upper room, go out, and go through all of the terrible experience they're going to have for a few hours. And a couple of 3 days, they're going to have terrible experience. But But God, you're going to prepare them for that and afterwards. Because afterwards, they have to go through this to get to the next thing. And then they're going to be left all alone without him out there in the world, without him. Therefore, our Lord, in all of his wisdom and his care, is going to help them. Therefore, chapter 13, picking up if I may, chapter 13, in verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, and ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come now, so now I say to you. So God, how do you address them after saying this? Little children. It isn't just children, it's little children. Small children. He uses it. Small children, little children. A term of endearment. Wow. And it's a term that has to do with origin. Your birth, your origin, etc. Your nature. A dependent. Little children are very much dependent, and rightly so, on the relationship. God said, little children, you, 11, have a unique relationship to me. You are as little children. And I am your father, and I am going to go and help you. I'm going to help you understand. And therefore, I want you to be little children. But they're looking at each other, and we're little children and looking at each other. He said, you understand what I'm going to do. I got to help you guys. And that's what he's going to do. To have a unique relationship to me so that you are understanding all of it is to my glory and to my honor. Therefore, verse 33, little children, yet a little while I am with you. I'm only here, just a few more in it. A little more, you better appreciate a couple of hours, not even that. That's all you've got left. And you shall seek me, you're going to seek me. We've been traveling together for 3 1/3 years. You're never going to do that again here on earth. You're going to be without me. You're going to be without me. You're going to be all alone. I'm not going to be there. I've been with you, and you know, when all the people, Israel, the Jews, and all the Gentiles, all of them, they're looking, when they looked at the 12, they saw the Lord. The Lord was the centerpiece. The 12 were just there. The Lord was the centerpiece. And the 12, when you saw the 12, you saw the Lord Jesus Christ. When you saw the Lord Jesus Christ, you saw the 12. But now there's no Lord. You're going to be gone. You cannot go where I'm going. Hang on. God said that earlier to the Jews. Chapter 7. John chapter 7. And you recall, chapter 7, may I go directly to verse 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured much such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. He just said that to his 11. Now he told the Jews, and they're out to kill him. Now he's telling the same expressions to his disciples, to the 11. And in the process, I am saying unto you right now, right now you need to know. I'm telling you something right now. You better understand it. I'm going to help you understand. I'm going to teach you. You want to know, I'm going to go. You cannot go where I'm going. You're going to be left down here alone, and it's going to get dark and darker, and you're going to live in a world of unbelief. And you're going to get persecuted and hunted and haunted, etc., because you're going to represent light in the midst of darkness. Now, having said that little bit, in verse 33 of chapter 13, Now I say unto you, right now, at this present time, right now, what is about to happen? Well, I'm going to be crucified and you're going to be left alone. Now, what else do I need to know? What should they have known a little bit, at least he clued them in about the Lord. So now, here's the Lord going to be alone. Hang on to that thought. Over, if you would, to chapter 8 of the Gospel of John. Remember now, the disciples are going to be left alone. Now, here's their Lord, and with all the people around him, he was still left alone. John chapter 8 and in verse 29. I'll read verse 28, a little context. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, crucifixion, then shall you know that I am in he, that I do nothing of myself. As my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He, the Father that sent me, is with me. The Father hath not, N-O-T, left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. You're not left alone. No, not at all. Not at all. And chapter 12. You're going to say it again, as we studied. John chapter 12, and you remember, verse 24, Verily, 12 and 24, the Gospel of John. Verse 23, Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. So God, everything's tying all together. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Just like a seed in a package, that's all it is. And the seed's all alone. Until the seed falls into the ground and dies, then it grows and changes, is transformed, and becomes a great tomato plant or ear of corn or something else. The seed has to go and die. Now you're telling that. You did. You went all of that, as we shared together, sliding down the whole subject matter. Verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So God, you keep telling them, you make it very clear that you're going to die, that you have a unique relationship to God, and that is going to glorify God, and God is going to be honored in and by it. Chapter 16. In the upper room, he's going to say it again. And in chapter 16, picking up, please, in verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh. Going to be crucified. Go out. Yea, now is come that you should be scattered. You're all going to go your own way, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I'm really not alone at all. Now, I'm going to go, and you're going to be left without me. But I want you to be encouraged and understand that you're never alone. I'm never alone. God is a wonderful, ever-present God. You're never alone. God's always there. Right or wrong, we may be, but he's there. Now, over to chapter 14. Chapter 14. And may I pick up, please? Remember now, God is going to encourage them. Verse 16, 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Why? That he may abide with you forever. Sliding down, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So I'm going to go. You can't go where I'm going. You're going to be left alone. But you're really not going to be left alone. In fact, it's going to be necessary for me to go. Unless I go, you can never have the relationship to God that I have in a unique way by His saving grace. You'll never have that. You're always there, but you never have it. I'm going to have to go and die on the cross. And you're going to have to understand the whole situation is for my glory and honor. And for you to be able to have the wonderful benefits of my death, burial, and resurrection. Therefore, do you understand? And the Spirit of God is going to come because of that. And, verse 18, I will not leave you. The word comfortless is fatherless. You aren't going to be an orphan. How's that? You're not going to be an orphan. You're not going to be left alone. I'm coming. But you understand, I have to go. Right now, I'm here, and you 11 are in the room. I'm going to go out the garden. You 11 are over here. We're disconnected. You can never have what I am and who I am and all the benefits unless I go to the cross. You can't go where I'm going. You can't do what I'm going to do. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come. Sliding down just to see it. Chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode, our abiding place, Father and Son. I'm able to come and do a wonderful thing in your heart and life if you understand I must die and pay the penalty of sin, etc. And in doing so, I'm able to then have a unique relationship to you as your Creator, little children. Do you understand? You can't have any of the benefits of God's wonderful fatherhood without my going to the cross. You can't have it. You'll never know it. It has to happen. Now, so therefore, chapter 15, you're right here. What do we know then? Then you're going to say, what, Lord? In the same context, they haven't even gone anywhere. I'm not going to leave you without a father. And, verse 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. I'm going to have a unique relationship to you. Vine, branch. Branch, life. Life's going to come through the branch. Wonderful life. You have to have the relationship. That's what I'm looking for. I want that. And without me, you can't do anything. Man, that's encouraging. We aren't going to ever be alone. No. Never. Never alone. But you have to understand what has to happen to make that possible. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would to John chapter 13 again. And in John chapter 13, may I pick up in, turn there myself, John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now remember, you got to get the movement. The movement is they're going out and they're going to be left alone. And God is trying to encourage them to understand why it has to happen. Why does the storm? Why do they have to drop a hydrogen bomb? Why do they have to do? Why does all this stuff have to happen? Because there's an outworking, not only of God's saving grace, but of the Satan's wonderful attempt to interfere with God's wonderful program for humans, Israel in the millennium, for you and I, in his body, the church, to just somehow mess that up. And God's going to let all of that work out just to show you what. God always wins. God always wins. They won. No, they didn't. No one wants. God always wins. He's God. Now, so therefore, in new, better of a different kind. New, oneness, unique oneness. Now, over, if you would, see, just to get that. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy in chapter 6. Now, remember, Israel is to represent God as a nation to all of the nations of the world. That's their assignment. And when it comes to Old Testament, the law points to love. Love points to the law. Law points to love. Love points to the law. That's always doing that. And both of them, law and life, law and love, point to life. L-I-F-E. Now, chapter Deuteronomy 6, as you know, you probably can quote it. Verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, singular, plural. Our singular God is plural. The Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 5, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Why? Because it wants you to love me. Now remember, we shared love last time a little bit to try to get a handle on it. God loves. God, 1 John 4 and all the way, 10 through 16. God is love. He's a person. Love is a person. When we say love, we use our word, we did all that, so you can be no better as a human being in any aspect of your life. You can be no more than what you really are. You can't love more, you can't have peace more, you can't be anything other than what you really are. You are extremely limited in your humanness. True? So when we love, it's always on our terms, looking for what we want others to wish them to be, want them to be, or care about them as they provide for us or something. And we have, it's all personal, personal. God, you love. When you love, as we shared, God, what is love? God, you are love. What do you want? Love is the giving of oneself to another, for other. God, what are you doing? I'm giving, I'm caring, little children, I want to go and take you to myself. I want you to know me as the living and only God, your Creator and Savior. I want you to know me. I want you to understand me. I want you to enjoy me. God, you're going to give us, what are you going to do when you love us? I want to give myself to you, to change your life from being in darkness to light, being wrong to being right. I'm going to change you. I want you to be like I intended you to be when I made you in my image and likeness, Genesis chapter 1. I want you to be like me. I want to be able to look at you and see myself. That's what I want to do. I want to see myself. I want to enjoy you as you enjoy me. You need to know who I am. That's why I'm loving you. That's why we don't let God love us. We shared it 1,000 times. We don't want God to love us because he's going to change us. Love changes us. We don't want it. Wow. It changes us. People get married. People get married. When I get married, I'll fix them. Got that? I've heard that. You know all that. You know. I'll change. He doesn't like Cheerios. He will after I marry him. Because that's all he's going to get the rest of his life. He's going to like Cheerios. Anyway, you got the idea. So God, you're going to give yourself. That's right. That's right. Love. You're going to give yourself for us to be as you intend us to be. So God, that means I got to change. Right. Right. Now, so what did you say in Deuteronomy? What do you want Israel to do? To love you with all their heart and soul so that you can produce a wonderful relationship to who you are. Over to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19. You remember, I'm going to read it in a sec, you'll see it. Leviticus 19, I'm picking up all kinds of, I'm just doing this one to get you the flavor of it. Chapter 19 of Leviticus, verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. Where is that? In the law. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's in the law. Now, over if you would please in your Bible, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22 again. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 22. And you will note in chapter 22, picking up if I may, remember verse 36, the man, lawyer, Master, 22:36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, what about the next one? Verses, what about the first four have to do with you, and the next ones have to do with us, our relationships to neighbors, people, that's right. How are we going to sum up them? We sum up the first four by loving you with all our heart. How do we sum up verse 12 on, the fifth commandment on down, in verse 39? The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. God said, listen, I want you to know there's a unique relationship to me. Israel was to have it by the law, by their wisdom and words, and they were to honor me in judgments and every which way, by dress and everything. They were to show the wonderful relationship to God that they were to have, and the nations were to see it. But they didn't do that. So, God, what about the church? What about us? What about those 11 disciples in the upper room? Well, they need to know what? They aren't going to be able to keep the law. Remember Romans 10. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So, God, the Lord Jesus Christ is made of what? So that we can have what we couldn't do. We can't keep the law. We can't be good. We aren't good. We're bad. We need help. We need to get saved. That's right. That's why I'm going to the cross. So now, having said that, looking to God, so God, you're going to do a wonderful work in our head and heart, and we're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's going to give us what we don't have so that we can produce. Israel didn't believe. So God, here's the disciples, and they're told to understand. What are they told? You're going to go? You're going to leave us alone? We're all alone over here. You aren't with us. And Judas is out there betraying you. And here we are. And how are we supposed to represent you anymore, God? God, we're going to be, we have nothing anymore. It's all over. No, it's just beginning. Just beginning. Why? Because you understand, you're going to be able to show who I am in a most unique way. How? I want you to love one another. Now, hang on to that, because that's a it. Now, watch. I do it the wrong way. I'll love you and you love me. Forget it. Because the minute you do something bad, what happened to my love? No. We'll just love each other. We'll all hold hands. No, that won't do it. That won't do it. Well, I'll just say the same creed and confess. No, that won't do it either. Nope. I want to tell you. I'm trying to tell you the only way you're going to be, I'm giving you some encouragement. I want you to know you're not going to be alone. I want you to know you're going to have a unique relationship to me. And I want you to know it's going to be expressed as the law. No, it's going to be expressed in love. Whose love? Your love, God. That's right. How Lord, you know it, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What did he do? He loved you. How did he love you? He died on the cross. So that you could what? Love, understand. Understand God loves you, to know him and honor him. Now, having said that little bit, verse 40 again, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So God, there's nowhere to go after this. It's a wonderful thing to receive you, to house, when I receive you, John 1:12, as many as received him. When I receive you as my Lord and Savior, I receive you. What am I receiving? You. You. I receive love. That's right. God loves me. God loves us. That's right. And so when I receive them, I become a house, a home for God. I become part of the family of God. We sing it. Part of the family of God. That's right. You're going to love me with all your heart and all your soul. That's what you're going to do. And you're going to love what I love. You're going to be part of me, part of who I am. You are going to go and sacrifice. You're going to say like I did. I set aside everything to love you. And you set aside everything to love God. That's the arrangement. With all your heart. That's the arrangement. Now, when you have that, then you're going to be able to show in a most wonderful way, unique way, that you're in love. We shared it last time, the title, I think I put down, being in love. That's a little phrase people use, I'm in love. That's right. We're in Christ, loved. We're in the middle of love. We're being loved. You know, no one loves me. Wrong. God does. You can never say no one loves you. And you can say everyone that loves you, I wouldn't count on it. Cursed be the man or woman that trusts what? Anyone that breathes. So you're not going to trust it? Well, they love me. Don't trust that. Thank God for it. They aren't hating you. Thank God they aren't chasing you around with a rolling pin or something. Thank God. But don't trust that. Thank God. You want your love that you need is from God, by God, in Christ. And then we have that love to overflow to love what? Run another. But, do you want to talk about that, God? Love your neighbor. No, there's more than that. That isn't going to do it. No, it can't. God, we need some more help. So now, having said that, over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17. John chapter 17. And you'll note, please, John chapter 17. May I pick up, please, in the end of the upper room sequence, before he goes out into the garden. Chapter 17, verse 21. That purpose, in order that, purpose, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, a unique Father, Son, God the Father, God the Son. That purpose, they also may be one in us. They need to have a relationship to us in order to enjoy us, God the Father, God the Son. That the world, what for? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So this whole arrangement, God, that is for your glory and honor in this darkness, is for what? To show that God the Son has a wonderful uniqueness to God the Father. They are one. And God is glorified on Calvary's cross. That's right. And the world, when the believers are in the body of Christ, they have a unique oneness. Oneness, and we shared it 1,000 times. That's what you do. You all do that, apart from spare parts and stuff that come in, and metal parts, the body, I know about them. What do you got? You got your liver, your spleen, your kidneys, all the different things, don't you? Most of you have them, something, a little. You all have lungs, I know that. You can't go wrong on that one. It harmonizes. Your lungs love you. Your lungs love being in you. If I put your lungs in a jar, they aren't happy. Do you understand? Your brain in a jar. Your brain isn't happy. Your brain belongs to you. You are to exercise it to honor it and enjoy it. So therefore, all of the parts of your body harmonize. They harmonize. Do you remember the last time your pancreas had an argument with your liver? Am I helping you? When was the last time you had an argument? When was the last time the right side of your heart valve had an argument with the left side? It cares. Your body cares about all of its parts, and it is built in God's wonderful wisdom and way to work together so that when one part is deficient, the other parts step in and try to help and heal and recover. It's a oneness. That's what you're talking about, Lord, isn't it? Uh-huh. You are going to have such a oneness to me that when they see you, they're going to see me. You must have the life of God in your head and heart to have the likeness of God in your life. Do you understand? We'll do it tonight. You got to have the life of God for the light and life. You can't do it without God. Now, God, that's what you're trying to tell him. That's right. You guys are going to have it. You aren't going to be like Israel. No, no. You're going to be uniquely different. Wonderful. You're going to be my body. A unique oneness. If you're still in John 17, slide down to verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, reason, that they may be made perfect, complete, whole, in one. Why do we need this unique oneness? That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hath loved them, as thou hast loved me. Well, how am I going to get the... You love one another, and all men will know that you are my disciples. That's how they're going to know. They aren't going to know because you're wishy-washy and all the other stuff. You know, we love each other for whatever. Yay, yay, yay. Forget that. That's not solid. You want solid ground in order to enjoy good ground. So you got to exercise. Go for the top so you can enjoy the rest of it. Now, so God, we can't do it without you. Not really. Not like you expect. So God, it's an awesome thing. And thus they'll know that you love, that my Father loves me. I am loved. You are loved. If you're saved, you're loved. And thou, as thou hast loved me. So we're looking to you, God. We love you because you first loved us, as we read. Now, over if you would please to John chapter 13 for a moment. Quickly. John chapter 13. May I pick up verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you. It's new, never has happened, never is going to happen again. It's brand new, this unique body relationship that you're going to have to me, that you love one another, because all the parts of the body care about each other, because they belong to the same body, the same life, the same Lord, the same love. They all belong together. So no matter where you see, they belong to the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes him one. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this, verse 35, shall all men know that you are my disciples. How are we going to know that? If you love one another. If you understand, believers belong in the body. They belong together. And they have a unique oneness. They're both human. They're all human. That's the point. They have a unique oneness to the Lord Jesus Christ. They know him. He dwells in them. And thus he is the common denominator. What makes them common? Christ in you. That's what makes them common. And therefore we're to love one another as he has loved us. And we ought to do so. And God requires it. To love. And so when God, you require what? For us to be loved. That's right. And as we are loved, we're going to be loving. We love the boy. I love being saved. I hope you're saved. I hope you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you want a Jew. You want a Jew, Gentile, I should say both. You can't just say, well, I'm going to belong to the Israel. No, you can't. You can't. Can't do that. Can't, not now. Later, good, but not now. Can't belong to Israel. No. Well, then who do I belong to? My wife, my husband, my brother, sister, mother, father. And God says, no, if any man love father, mother more than me, etc., you cannot be my disciple. So God, what are you talking about? You have a unique relationship to me. So I want you to know that that unique relationship you have to me is what is going to be seen. And that's what makes us common. That's our commonness. What's our commonness? It isn't because we like pizza or something. It's because of him. Otherwise, all the rest of it, we like going here, we like doing this, we like doing that. That's, people get married for that, those reasons, understandably. But it isn't about that. The church isn't about that. It's about a relationship, a unique relationship to Almighty God in a most awesome way, a special way, the only way there is to show the Lord Jesus Christ as his body. How does the body show it? The body can't be disconnected in 35 different ways. It has to be unified. And then the body is clear. If you went to a I don't know this for sure, but I think it's something like this. If you were going to medical school, some of you don't know all that, go to school or something like that, and then you go to the cadaver room, right? Right? You go, you're going to study whatever part of the body it is. So you go in, here's the room with all the parts, and you find the whatever part you're going to do and take it, you back over, you're going to work on it, right? And you go and do that. Now, is that, now, when you go in the cadaver room, when you go in there, are you impressed? Who impresses you in the cadaver room? Just all parts of the body. The body has to be someone in there that stands up and talks to you. They have to be together. The parts belong in the body of Christ together. That is what it is. It isn't what, hey, what it is. What it, everything's the opposite of that for the most part. God, that's what you want. That's right. A unique relationship. So that all of the wonderful, wonderful commands that you make, all the statements you make, the peace of God to rule in your heart like you did in Sunday school, all of those commandments are based on what? Love. It's because I love you that I do what I do and say what I say and what I'm going to do. God, you're going to let all this stuff happen in our world. I am. I am. I am. Even in your own life, I am. But I want you to know I'm doing all of that to make a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful... I want to go and translate you into the kingdom of my dear son. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to go and transform you. Not only into the kingdom of my dear son, I'm going to make you like my son. I'm not only going to transform you, I'm going to go and transfigure you. So I'm going to go and have you, so when I see you in my son, I see you as sons in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath no life. God, you want us to have such a unique relationship to you. That's right. I want you to know that is the love I'm talking about. All the rest of it, I'm not talking about it. We talk about it because it's easy, cheap kind of stuff, and we can do it. But it isn't where God is. God's talking about his awesome person that has died on the cross to save us and give us a personal, unique relationship to his almighty person. And that we have a relationship And we share that relationship as the church, the believers in the body of Christ, the body showing itself to the world. And it isn't because we have a car or we have pizza or something or a club or we aren't a party, we aren't an organization. We should be, 1 Corinthians 12, a body. And that's why we gather together. Same Lord, same Christ, same love. And we're trying to get mentally in tune. So we're harmonizing. You harmonize and I harmonize with what it says. And that's what it's about. To the degree and measure we do that is the degree and measure we show him. To the degree and measure we're going to have big debates, nothing. Nothing's going to be there. The only way you can show me is love one another. And then you'll be my disciples. Then you'll be my witnesses. Then you'll be mine. I will be loving you, little children, and you will be enjoying me, who I am. God said, be encouraged. It's going to be a horrible time when you step out of this room. Terrible. And your whole world is going to fall apart. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Our Father and God, we thank you. Help us a little bit with all of these. God, with all of this, we just don't want to get caught up in something that's tangent, way off base. We want to lock on to the center. We want to lock on the center. That's you, who you are and what you've done for us. So, Lord, thank you very much for dying. Spirit of God, thank you for your wonderful ministry to save and keep us. Spirit of God, honor our Father. Father, what can we do? Thank you very much for being who you are. God, we want to honor you. We are little children. And God, wonderfully, wonderfully yours. Never to be alone. Always to be yours. God, never fatherless. Never. God, thank you for caring. Thank you for helping. God, in our world, we think of the hurricane and the great exercises that are taking place there, that many humans would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. For the people that help, that many of them would come to help you and know you as their Lord and Savior. And we think of the world, we think of North Korea, we think of Iran, Iraq, China, we think of all of those and the men and women in the military and God, all of the stuff all over the place going on, the revolt against your wonderful creation, male and female. And our God, we thank you in all of it. And God, we're looking to you to enable us to be a testimony, to honor you for your honor and your glory. Even so, come. In Christ's name, amen.